Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Through Nehemiah chapter 4. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard they were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have demoralized the builders." So he built the wall. The whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it came about that when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah it was said, "The strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work." And it came about that when the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, "They will come up against us from every place where you may turn." Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." It happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each to his own work. And it came about from that day on, that half of my servants carried on the work while half of them held the spears. The shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. And I said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive. We are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So he carried on the work with half of them, holding spears and from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time I also said to the people, "Let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day." So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water. Amen. So this part here, Nehemiah, it's actually 4, 5, and 6. We're going to read about all the different challenges that they have in building the wall. Really, what we're going to actually read about is, in a way, the way that the enemy attacks us when we try to do something for the Lord. When God tasks us with a responsibility or an assignment, I mean, you better be very clear and aware that the enemy is going to come to try to bring a stop to whatever that work is. And we see throughout this, because I'm just going to go through this, and we'll see exactly what the enemy tries to do, and then you'll see how the Lord and how the people of God responded to that. And so the first part of chapter 4, so remember, they've all, in the previous chapters, they all been assigned a certain part of the wall, which is actually in front of their home or their village or whatever it may be. And so remember, each person, each group is taking responsibility for their own part of the wall. And so it's important for us to recognize that, right? We're all taking responsibility for our part. Then they move on, and so as soon as basically everyone's got an assignment, everyone knows what to do, and the first thing that comes is Sanballat. And remember him from way before. He was a Samaritan. Remember, the Samaritans were really the enemies of the Jews. Samaritans, most of them were half. They were half Jewish and half something else. And actually, it came way back. When the Jews left in the first exile, the Samaritans actually decided to stay and come under the rule of whoever was in charge during that time. They mixed races, which they were not supposed to do. And the Samaritans, I mean, it goes back generations before. They're the ones that said, "Oh, we're going to worship on this mountain." They basically set their own religion. But for whatever reason, they consider themselves to be part of the Jews as well. But the Jews made it very clear: first of all, you did not travel with us. You know, you did not come with us as a people. You decided to stay and live the comfortable life. And so, and you know, besides, you have your own belief system. And so, they are enemies. And if you actually really look at this, in a certain way, these were like one of the early cults that we see. You know, like I always get really nervous. I remember even in the U.S., we had Mitt Romney who ran for president. And a lot of people were saying that he was a Christian. And I was saying, no, he's not a Christian. He's a Mormon. You know, I mean, he's part of the Church of Latter-day Saints. They believe that Jesus and Lucifer are half-brothers. You know what I mean? He's not the Son of God. And all the, but people just, you know, oh, he's a Christian. No, he's not a Christian. In that same way, it's kind of the very similar. The Samaritans feel like they're part of it, but obviously Jews are like, no, you're not. Like, your belief system is totally different than what we believe. And in fact, you made certain choices that you made. I'm not angry at Mormons, you know, but you need to know that the Mormon church is the one that's saying that we're not the real Christians. Right, so let's make it very clear, right? And basically, an angel came to Joseph Smith and said, all the churches are bad. I'm going to get rid of them all. I'm going to start the real church through you. And that's why they're called the Church of Latter-day Saints. And so it's not like, you know, I was not the one. We're not the ones that threw the first stone. They were. You know, they said that we're not the church, and only they are. So in any case, this is not about Mormonism anyway. And so what happens is these guys are furious. There's all these things happen. And the next thing you know, that the first attack that comes is ridicule. So the first part of this, going to verse 6, opposition through ridicule. And the next part from 7 and 8 is opposition through the threat of attack. Notice, they never attack. But they threaten to attack. That's very similar to what the devil does, right? You know, he hardly ever touches us, but just the threat to touch us is enough. You know, it says, I love Psalm 23. You know, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. You know why David doesn't fear any evil? Because he doesn't walk into death. He walks into the shadow of death. You gotta recognize, you know, weapons. If you think about it, weapons can hurt us. A knife can hurt you, but I've never heard in my life where a shadow of a knife ever hurt anybody. You know what I mean? And so he says that we walk through the shadow of the valley of death. It's not death; it's a shadow. The only thing the enemy has is a shadow. He makes it, you know, and you've seen those cartoons where, you know, there's like a little tiny little thing, but projected, you know, on the shadow, it makes a very big thing. That's kind of like how the enemy works, right? He can't touch us. We're children of God, but he can threaten to touch us. And when we succumb to that fear, then, you know, he doesn't even have to attack. He's just, a threat of attack is enough. And that's what he's trying to do to these guys. And then the next part from 10 on is opposition through discouragement. And that's basically how he works. And then I'm going to get ahead of myself to chapter 5. But chapter 5 now is opposition from within. We see that the enemy has now infiltrated the ranks of the Jews. And through extortion and some things that are happening, he attacks from inside the house. So all these attacks are outside the house. Now he attacks from inside the house. And then later on, he attacks in chapter 6, he attacks through compromise. And then he attacks through slander, and then he attacks through treachery. I just basically gave you an outline for the next few chapters that we're going through. And so let's look at what happens here. And so he operates through ridicule. And so he comes and he says, you know, are you kidding yourself? Who do you think you are? You know, you think you're a man of God? What God's going to give you this assignment? Are you kidding me? And he tries to break our confidence through ridicule. And so, how did they respond? And this is a really, really good lesson for all of us. How did they respond? Verse 4, hear, O God, how we are despised. Now, I don't want to focus so much on the content, but how did they respond? They prayed. They prayed. That's all they did. They prayed. They said, God, are you listening to what these guys are saying about us and about you? They reminded God of the assignment. You know, how dare these guys say these kinds of things? You know, and then the threat of attack. And so these guys come together, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, and obviously they don't want the wall to be repaired. You know, I mean, if the wall is repaired, that takes away their threat. And so what happens? They say, we're going to attack, we're going to kill them all. And how do they respond? Verse 9, but we prayed to our God. They prayed. And this seems to be a very, very simple connection. They prayed, God spoke, and they obeyed. So what happens? So they set up a guard. And then, I mean, it was just very, God, we have opposition comes, things come our way. What do? We pray. We remind God of his faithfulness, and then we ask God what to do. And God gives just really an incredible answer. And he says, well, why don't half of you guys, right, stand guard and the other half work and be ready at any time? And so, I mean, they basically just lay this whole thing out before the Lord. And so he gives them exactly what they're supposed to do. Then the discouragement from opposition comes. And what do? They pray and God speaks to them about how to operate. And so every person, and this is such a really incredible picture. Half of you guys go to the low, you know, the lowest part. Remember, because walls are always, or cities are always on hills, because it's a fortification. So the walls are going up. They finish halfway the wall, and so they're still doing the work. And so half of you guys go down to the low places. You know, that's where the enemy will come up. I want you to stand guard. The other half, you keep working. And then, even when these guys were working, they still had, I mean, can you imagine? They had, you know, whatever work instrument on one hand, and they carried a sword or a spear in the other hand. In other words, they were always ready to fight. He says, I'm gonna station trumpeters all around the wall. It's the trumpeter, actually, it's the shofar. Okay, so I'm gonna you know, station these ram's horns, and they're gonna come. And as soon as you hear the sound, you run, because that's where the battle is coming to. And so that happens. But guess what? They never attack. God, in this case, God thwarts their plan. They never attack, and we see that there's even though there's discouragement, there's slander, there's threat of opposition, and these things happen, they still continue to carry on the work. And I mentioned when we first started Nehemiah, it took them 52 days to rebuild this wall, which is an absolute miracle. You know, and I mean, it's a huge piece. And even he says later on in verse 19, he says, I said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we have separated on the wall far from one another. Even Nehemiah is telling these guys that man, this is a huge work, extensive work. And I mean, the people that are building different parts of the wall, we're so far from one another. But see, that could be a problem. But God lays a solution by getting these trumpeters to come together. And so we see this pattern, the holy pattern. God gives an assignment. God, you know, raises up leaders to lead in these assignments. The enemy attacks. And he attacks all different ways. He attacks from outside. He attacks from inside. He attacks, you know, with outside forces, and then he attacks people internally. We get discouraged. You know, we get downtrodden and we become fearful. And so those things, even, you know, those things that are happening inside of us are a lot of times more detrimental than enemies attacking us. You know what I mean? It happens. It happens to every single one of us. Discouragement comes inside. You know, fear begins to grip our lives. And we don't know how to overcome certain things. And a lot of times, and this is all the enemy needs to do, if he can just bring enough discouragement in your life that you would stop what God has called you to do, then he wins. He wins. I tell our pastors and I tell our staff, our young people, you know, all the time, I said, you know, and some people say, well, you know, what if I'm not doing this with a pure heart and I gotta, you know, da da da, and they're questioning all these different things. I say, the moment you stop doing or you don't do, the enemy is just won. That was his whole purpose. He doesn't want you to finish what God has assigned for you to do. He doesn't want you to carry on the work that he has assigned for you, that he's raised up leadership in you and around you to accomplish this task. And the moment that we start tricking ourselves, that's what happens. Like, oh, should I be doing this? I don't have a pure heart. And the moment we start going through that cycle, that's the moment the enemy has just won, because all along, he wasn't there to question your heart or your abilities. He just wanted you to stop what you were doing. He just wanted you to let go of the assignment that God had in mind. And so that's what happens. So God gives an assignment. He raises up leadership for that assignment. The enemy attacks from outside, from inside. Outside, inside. Outside, inside. All throughout, you know, all these things. And then, but what the people, what do the successful people of God do? They pray. They seek God's face. They don't complain to their brother. You know what I mean? They go and complain to God. And they ask him. God moves on their behalf. He either thwarts the plans of the enemy, you know, all these different things that happen, or he gives us a heavenly strategy to overcome whatever situation. And this really is an incredible passage on leadership. And we see how Nehemiah, though discouragement comes, though slander, opposite, all these things come, he's not moved by this. What does he do? He just goes and leads the men to pray. And when they pray, God releases a strategy. It's almost so too simple to believe, right? God releases a strategy, and things begin to happen throughout this time. And they continue to carry out the work. You know, they're able to overcome, and then they end up finishing the work. Now, the attacks get stronger and stronger as it goes along, and that happens. And thus, the need for the people of God to continue to persevere. You know, whenever I've had an assignment, and I sense so much opposition, you know, I always go back to, well, did God say? Did God say to do this? Did God say, you know, for this and this? And I always go back, I say, no, okay, God, you said it. All right, I'm going to trust you. That's called faith. It's every part of the way. I mean, you know, my wife is sitting in front of me today. And you know, all the time when you know, I felt that she was supposed to be my wife. You know, and obviously God didn't tell her, and some of you guys may know the story or not. You know, she really disliked me for years. And to this day, I have no reason. I don't understand why, but I mean, I do understand. I just don't want to tell you. But you know, and then there were times of incredible discouragement, and it would go back to, well, did God say yes? God said that I would be married. You know, and that I have a lot of kids, and you know, all these things. Well, it goes, yes, yes, all right, then I need to trust. I need to pray, trust, and ask God for a strategy. And he does it every single time. Amen? So let's close our eyes. This morning, in this day, has God given you an assignment? Is there something that you sense that God wants you to do? Is there something that God is calling you to? Is there a word And it doesn't have to be this grand, you know, I want you to go and rebuild. It could just be, well, God told me that I was going to be a blessing at my work. God told me that I'm going to have an incredible intimate relationship with my wife or my husband. Is there opposition? Of course there is. But rest assured, God's going to give you the leadership. And all you need to do is pray. Let God know what's going on. He already knows. But there's something about the praying that brings His empowering. And just listen for the strategy. Let's pray this morning as we sing. Let's pray. Huh? If you're in the throes of opposition right now, let's remind God of His faithfulness. Let's remind God of His words. Remind God of His goodness and things that He's done over us. And then ask God for a strategy. He'll give it to you. He'll make it so clear. It won't be a guessing game. Because He wants you to finish the race. He wants you to accomplish the assignment. That's why He gave it to us. And He's not leaving us alone to do it. He wants to do it with us. It's all about relationship. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray about the assignment that He's given to you. And ask God for wisdom and a strategy. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illness. So let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Go to our community prayers. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray for our city. Let's come against the spirit of violence and rage and anger that's really taking over this place. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray that they would make wise decisions, particularly, especially during this time. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. And in many ways, is the reason why all these riots are taking place. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up churches all over the city. That the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's pray for our friends ministering here, Sports Services, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Pray for our Korean church and Pray for Hong Kong students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray that God would use us to serve the church, to serve Him with all of our heart. Let's pray over our families, that they would also serve the Lord in their own way, and that God would really use them. Let's just lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Let's pray for all the people, the new people that come to the church, that would feel so welcome and loved, and these guys will be on the front lines of that. Let's lift our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for our ministers, our volunteers. Pray that as they lead us, that they would really lead us in the presence of the Lord, that significant things would happen as we worship Him. Lift up our house churches before the Lord, meeting tonight, First Street, Fontana, House to House, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's ask the God's hand to be with our leaders, our hosts, and people gather together and really receive something from the Lord and for one another. Let's lift up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we recognize, God, that the enemy will always try to thwart the work of God, will always try to thwart the assignments that you give us, God, that you want to do with us, Lord. Lord, help us not to be discouraged, God, not to be scandalized, Lord. Lord, help us to pray, to listen, and to obey. That's all we need to do, Lord. Pray, listen, and obey. Lord, you're faithful to thwart the plans of the enemy. You're faithful, God, Lord, to give us strategies, God. You're faithful to carry on and complete the work that you started, Lord. I believe, God, I just want to pray Philippians over us, God. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Lord, you're the one that's going to be faithful, God. Lord, we just need to obey. And so we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. Lord, be with us today as we continue to seek your face, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow.